in the Shrine of the Book Museum in Jerusalem, a beautiful display dedicated to the scrolls that were found in those first caves in the early days of the Dead Sea Scrolls discovery. We find perhaps one of the most telling texts that sheds light and tremendous insight into our role and our responsibility at this point in time. In the very center of the Shrine of the Book Museum is one of the first scrolls that was found by the Bedouin boy in 1946, the Great Isaiah Scroll. The scroll is unfolded and displayed on a vertical cylinder that stands in the center of this museum. Now, this scroll, the Great Isaiah Scroll, is the only scroll of all of the Dead Sea Scrolls, of all 800 scrolls and over 25,000 fragments that were discovered. This is the only scroll that was found completely intact, and it is the single most complete copy of the words of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. It's the most complete copy that we have today. And this scroll is believed to be so precious that the entire cylinder upon which it is displayed is designed to retract vertically into the floor of the museum, into a concrete and steel reinforced vault with iron doors that close over it to protect this scroll in the unlikely event of a nuclear attack, because it is believed to be that precious. What could be on this scroll that has survived so long that could mean so much to us? Why is it that so much of this information, even today, is just now being released into the public forum where we can see these things with our own eyes? Well, we know that the Great Isaiah Scroll, in its completeness, says to us what many other ancient texts and traditions suggest as fragments. Because this scroll is so complete, it can be used as a template to help us understand, for example, Native American traditions, Native American prophecy, Hopi prophecy, Egyptian prophecy, Mayan prophecy, and many of the other ancient views into our time and history. The completeness of the Isaiah text allows us to use it precisely as a template to explore the mysteries of our ancient sciences of prophecy and prayer. Isaiah was the first of the great Old Testament prophets. He acknowledges in the words of his time the nature and the direction of time. In his own words, he says, "Let them come near and foretell to us what it is that shall happen," saying that there are those that can tell us what will happen in the future. Then he says, "What are the things of long ago? Tell us what happened in the past. Tell us that we may reflect on them and know their outcome." This is Isaiah, in the words of his day, speaking to a people that he could only imagine in his dreams. In the only language of his day, he was sharing something with us. Now, in what I believe are perhaps the most telling words, and I've never seen anything like this in any text or any scroll I've ever seen before, Isaiah, I believe, acknowledges that there's a good possibility the people of his future may see his words and not understand what he has said. In his own words, he says, "For you, the revelation has become like the words of a sealed scroll, when it is handed to one who can read, with the request, 'Read this.' The one replies, 'I cannot. It is sealed.'" I believe what Isaiah was saying to us may be precisely what has happened since the discovery of his scroll in 1946. What he's saying is there may be those who can read the letters and know the words that are in the text very well, language experts on the one hand. On the other hand, he says, they cannot read it because it's sealed. Do they understand the meaning? Do they know what they have read? Without the insights of 20th century quantum physics, how could we? Without our insights of vertical time and time existing as many layers and many possibilities playing out, how could we understand what Isaiah was saying to us? And I believe he was acknowledging that there may be those who could read his words and perhaps not understand what it was he was saying until the time was right. Perhaps one of the most controversial aspects of Isaiah's text is known as the Apocalypse of Isaiah. And it's interesting to me because for so many people, the word apocalypse conjures up a sense of gloom or darkness, when in essence, the word apocalypse is taken from the Greek word apokalypsis, and it simply means to disclose or reveal. And that's all it means. All Isaiah was doing in his apocalypse was disclosing or revealing for us what he had seen in our time and our future. And I'd like to share some excerpts, and these are some of the excerpts that are so controversial, because historically scholars have read these excerpts and they have interpreted them in a very traditional manner. I'd like to explore these together, and then let's reinterpret them through the eyes of quantum physics in a new way that sheds new light and a very empowering impossibility that offers hope for our time, our families, our communities, and a future perhaps that we've only dreamed of in the past. In chapter 24, Isaiah looks into his future, into our future at the time of the great change of the earth. He says, "The earth at this time is utterly laid waste. It's utterly stripped." He said, "The earth is polluted because of its inhabitants. The inhabitants have transgressed the laws of nature, the laws of creation. We've violated the statutes, broken what he calls the ancient covenant." He goes on to say that in the great cities, nothing remains but ruin. He looks around as he was taken from his time ahead of our time to witness this possibility. He says that the foundations of the earth will shake. The earth will burst asunder. The earth will be shaken apart. The earth will be convulsed, and the moon will blush and the sun will grow pale. So this is what Isaiah sees as a possibility for our future. Now, here's the key. In the same moment of time in our future, Isaiah sees something very different. Listen to this. He says, in the same moment of time, he sees a possibility where streams will burst forth in the desert, where the burning sands will become pools and thirsty ground springs of water. He sees a time where sorrow and mourning flee from the peoples of the earth. He sees the desert and the parched land exulting, flowers blooming in the desert, and he says the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be cleared. He sees a very joyous time in the same instant in the future that he is seeing the times of catastrophic destruction. How can that be? And this is what scholars say. Scholars without the understanding of quantum time and the vertical nature of time say, which is it? Did this prophet see a time of gloom and destruction, or did he see a time of joy and healing? This is the pattern. Prophecies historically have been believed to forecast the bad times before we get to the good times. In other words, they've been interpreted in a linear fashion. When the prophet describes what they see, the prophecies have been interpreted as describing destruction, suffering, loss of life, followed by a time of peace and healing. The challenge is that although historically scholars have viewed prophecies in this way, could they be showing us something a little different?